Hello, Gemini. Welcome to part three of your birthday reading. This is Astrology Afterthoughts and Tarot. And I do have an astrology afterthought, actually. I've been thinking about Apollo in Virgo, square the new moon, squared by the new moon. And I have another idea. The more commonly used and pretty effective delineation of Apollo is making the same errors over and over again. In Virgo, this could manifest as figuring out the same thing you need to do or do differently over and over again. You know how there's that thing where, like, you figure out, you have a problem, you solve the problem because you figure out what's going on, and then you forget you solved the problem, and then you have the problem again, and you solve it again, and pretty much come up with the same solution, and then you realize, wow, I already solved this problem. And that can repeat, and it can happen any number of times. This is an indication of a need to take action. If you realize you've solved this problem before, you have figured out what the issue is before, especially when it comes down to your emotional response to something, and in the style of the fourth house, your understanding of why it might be that you feel insecure or what you need to feel stronger or like you belong somewhere. And so this is a special focus on your home, anything in the fourth house. The first place to look for additional information in the environment is the home environment. Remember that houses represent environments. And the fourth is the inner environment in terms of how safe you feel, but also physical environment that it is about is your home. I will add one other thing, that with the dominant aspect in your solar return chart being a new moon square Neptune, in addition to being square Apollo and opposing Bacchus, the square to Neptune really is the thing that stands out. And this is calling for integrity. It is calling for a circumspect approach rather than a linear approach, because with Neptune involved, you need to be mindful all the time. It's not really possible to figure it's all going to come out in the wash, so to say, or take care of itself. There's a need to, in a sense, outsmart the Neptune factor and look around the corner and keep asking yourself, have you considered this in this particular way? All in an effort to defeat the typical Neptune tendency toward blind spots and denial. All right. Let's look at some tarot cards and see what comes up. All right. And per usual, the spread that I'm going to use is the Celtic Wings spread, in that there is a diagram of how that spread works on the page where this reading is kept, and there's also some photographs of the spread. And let me draw some cards out here. And I start with the card for what you want. Four of Cups, anger. I wonder what that's about. Now, Four of Cups has a number of different meanings. I don't see this card very often in this deck, and I use this deck almost exclusively. So let's see what that is about. The Four of Cups, the astrology of the Four of Cups is the moon in Cancer in the Crowley Tarot, the first one to use astrological significations, and he calls the card luxury. And there is an implication of kind of it's kind of like, I think the word in German is gemütlich. It's a kind of a comfort zone. And the question I would have here is about anger being a comfort zone in some way. And is there something that you're annoyed about or pissed off about or raging about? Normally, this is not polite conversation. I would suggest here, letting this card stand, I'm going to look at a little bit deeper into it at the end of the reading, but I would say this card is highlighting the importance of using your anger as a signal to yourself, knowing when you're angry and taking action, not merely festering on your anger. Okay, first position, equanimity. So this is kind of the opposite of anger. This is the balanced state of mind and the sense of clarity and inner peace, in a sense. And I think of it also as extending into how we treat others, and that it's a predisposition for fairness. And you may be, well, there's definitely some tension between anger and equanimity, and I would look at the anger as being under the surface and the equanimity as being what's on the surface. Are you concerned that you might be angry? Now, the second position is passion. So this is an interesting spectrum. We've got three cards in a kind of vertical axis. I'm going to photograph this while the other cards are facing downward, so you can see what these cards look like when they are presented in a vertical axis with only those three cards turned up. The blue thing is the back of the card. It's a slice of it's a photograph of a slice of DNA. Okay, so top one, anger, second one, equanimity, bottom one, passion. The question here is, does this represent some kind of a spectrum of feeling for you, and is your passion in some way being used against you? Okay, fourth position, one, two, third position, fear. All right, this makes sense in context. Presence of fear combined with passion and a desire to stay balanced could easily lead to anger. I think that, I want to just go back to the topic of anger. I think that there is a anger phobia in our culture. There is allegedly a problem that we have with rageaholism, but I would say that really the more serious issue is the phobia of addressing, speaking honestly about acknowledging anger. And this, well, we'll see what comes up in the relationship angle here, but there's definitely something to look at here. And anger is, you know, it's basically a toxic form of something. And when it surfaces, it's important to look for the source of the toxin. Okay, next position, fifth position, is the magician. And the inherent meaning of the magician is that you have all the tools that you need to have in order to get what you need done. You have what you need. And now you need to use those tools. Now it's not about hoping for change or, you know, passively waiting for anything. You need to be the active seeker and the one in command of your destiny, and use what you have available to make the changes that you know you need to make. That, of course, will leave you at the beginning of a journey. This is Trump card number one. So far, the only Trump card to show up, and Trump card number one implies the beginning of a scenario. Okay, getting a little more detail here. In position six, what you are resisting is the Ace of Cups. This card is called Ecstasy. I think of it as the card of self-love. It is the root of the powers of love in the language of the traditional tarot, and obviously the root of the powers of love is self-love. This is a very tricky, complicated subject because it is often conflated with egotism and narcissism, but actually self-love is the opposite of egotism and narcissism. It is the very antithesis of those things. And the idea of resisting that could lead to many different imbalances, including anger and fear, and then the possibility of pulling a kind of a drape over that of equanimity, wanting to seem like you're balanced and calm, but in reality, you want to talk about the full spectrum of your feelings. And there's obviously a very wide spectrum of things that you're feeling. One thing interesting about this spread is that the cards all indicate feelings. They are all states of mind. Okay, now there are two cards that are in the relationship position. The traditional spread only has one. I've added a second one. We come up with the star in the first relationship position. This is an indication of your true alignment with what we'll call the real meaning of relationships, their cosmic nature, their cosmic origin, and indicates that you are actually on the right track in some way, despite the ripples that are going on all the way spreading out to the left. You are in an environment that actually can support what you want as well. So these relationship cards indicate your values in relationship and the meeting place of others, and then to some extent where others are coming from. And now in the second relationship card, we pick up a card of men and maleness, the Emperor. And this is either indicating someone actually in your presence or some idea of the person you want to be in your relationship. So, for example, if you're a heterosexual man, there is the option to assert something core about your maleness. If you are a woman who likes men, it is likely to represent a male or the ideal vision of a male partner. And in any event, it is a very strong card, especially when combined with the star. And the star and the emperor have an interesting relationship. Kabbalistically, they seem to occupy one another's places on some versions of the pathways and the tree of life. They're cards that, though they don't have any special numerological relationship, let's just take that, that's 17, that's an 8. Well, four and eight are definitely factors of one another, so there's a relationship there. But in any event, you've got two of the strongest cards in the entire tarot in your relationship angle. And so if you are experiencing difficulty in your relationships, you can see a potential source of frustration because you know that really on one level, your intentions are in the right place and you are doing things right. And so meanwhile, you can have faith that the most important thing you can do is get your own emotional world in order, your own priorities in order, your own house in order, and be open to improvement in the realm of your relationships, improvement in what happens in the world around you, based on the fact that you are ordering your own world in a conscientious way. Okay, two more cards left to turn over. And by the way, vis-a-vis these last two cards of relationship, Star and Emperor, they are next to the Magician. And the Magician is at the center of the spread, as you'll see in the photograph. And to the one side of the spread, there is all of these, what we might call the mixed emotion side of the spread. Anger, fear, equanimity, passion, right? Talk about mixed emotions, right? That it's almost as diverse as you can get in four cards. Then there is, in the middle of the spread, the move-through point, the balancing point, is the Magician. And the idea here is of the Magician that you are taking up the power of your own healing, and that you understand that you have the resources that you need. And when you make that realization, you enter the right side of the spread, which has cards Ecstasy, the Star, the Emperor, and the High Priestess. The High Priestess is a card of mystery. There is a sensation of not really knowing what this card is about, but it's a profound card because it can indicate something about to be revealed, and in particular, something about to be revealed about yourself. Last card in the spread, another ace, second ace, Ace of Crystals, brilliance. So this is definitely a spread that indicates an improving situation. It appears to be rapidly improving, provided that you see your emotional condition for what it is, that you have a concept of your emotional kind of world and what region that you're in, and that you claim back your power. Another in image in the Magician is of claiming your power and putting it right there on the table in front of you, and not giving away your power to anyone or anything else. Sadly, a situation that emerges many times in our relationships. And as I mentioned, because there is so much in your astrology about not taking on the baggage of other people and not doing this commonplace maneuver of turning the relationship into a therapy project, those are typical ways that we give away our power in relationships. And once you make the decision to claim back that power, to let other people have what is theirs, and to not get infiltrated, dragged down, or in any way distracted by that, then basically you tip the balance in your own favor. All right, that is what I have to say in this tarot reading. There will be a live discussion, so scribble down your notes. The discussion is going to be, it's probably going to be held in the evening at some point. We'll send out an email in the next day or two to everyone who has signed up for this reading. For those of you who are not able to listen at that particular time, you can email me your questions. Just make sure you're very clear in the subject header that it says Gemini question, and I will do my best to respond to all of those. The email address to use is eric@francis.pw. Again, eric@francis.pw, and Gemini question in the subject header, and then you can listen to the archived version of the live conversation. If you're going to ask questions about your personal chart, it would help if you focus what it is you want to ask about. Rather than have it be a general question, for example, ask about a particular aspect that you have in your chart that you are aware of, or how something in the transiting sky, thing that I read for this kind of reading, is influencing you personally. So focus your questions. Don't be afraid to speak up when the time comes. We did one of these before. This is going to be the second one ever, and it was a little tricky getting people in the group to speak out. That bodes well for understanding that you can get some time. Actually, you can actually have your question answered. So, not necessarily going to be a lot of competition, though I trust that Geminis will be less afraid to speak up. All right, that is what I have to say to you today. As always, you're welcome to get in touch for any other purpose, eric@francis.pw, and I look forward to speaking with you in the live session. Happy birthday. Thanks for doing your metaphysical shopping here, and stay in touch.
Don't know what you got, sinking with the stones.